It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is off today. 3 years ago today, Governor Scott Walker signed Act 10 into law. It was exactly 1 month after he unveiled his budget repair bill and urged quick action. The 16-hour public hearing that convened days after Walker's announcement marked the beginning of a period of intense political contention in Wisconsin. It ultimately led to the recall election of the governor. One of the lawmakers co-chairing Act 10's public hearing back in 2011 was Robin Voss. Now the Assembly Speaker, he was then co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. As part of our week-long series on Act 10, 3 years in, we're joined by Speaker Voss to discuss the impact the law has had so far in Wisconsin. Representative Voss, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me, Rob.
Well, let's walk back a few years. You were co-chair of Joint Finance when Act 10 was introduced. Days after the legislation, there was a 16-hour public hearing. Protests were starting. What did you make of the testimony you were hearing against the bill of the protests at the time?
Well, we certainly knew that the topic was going to be controversial because any time that you do real, meaningful reform, people who enjoy the status quo are always going to turn out in pretty great numbers. And there's no doubt that over the course of the months that we struggled to get Act 10 to become law, that that was definitely the case. I think that it's pretty obvious now, looking back, that it was the right decision to make. It was sure tough. I'm not going to say that it was easy for anybody, including myself or other state employees who had to begin paying in for their pensions and to pay a little bit toward their health care. But it certainly was the right decision. And I think at the end of the day, it's borne out by all the facts that we now know.
When it was signed into law, finally, after some protest, what did you imagine success looking like? What was a win for Act 10, say, 2-3 years down the road?
Well, I was just happy that we were going to be able to have a budget that was balanced, knowing how tough the fiscal times were. We had just left with Democrats in control, where we walked in the door with a $3.6 billion deficit. Taxes had already gone up by nearly $5 billion over the course of the past several years. And we were just wanting to make sure that the budget was really in balance and that we could do it in a way that didn't result in tax increases for average Wisconsin citizens. So that was the first goal that we accomplished. My second long-term goal was giving more opportunities for local governments to be able to control their own destiny. I had served on our county board and as chair of the Finance and Personnel Committee, and while I think that the people who sat down at the table were good, honest, hardworking state or public employees, they're still had a situation where the deck seemed to be stacked, where the only thing that the taxpayer would have the opportunity to do was to figure out how much more we were going to pay, as opposed to trying to find ways to save and form a partnership. So unfortunately, we had to take more radical moves to be able to say that government should do what's in the best interest of taxpayers and not just protect the status quo.
3 years today since Governor Walker signed the law. Do you have any disappointments about how it was implemented? Any regrets about how it was from the outset?
Well, the only thing that I wish we would have done differently, because those of us who had been in office and ran on a platform of finally fixing Wisconsin's problems were pretty committed to do it. Our caucus had almost half brand new members who ran on that exact platform. I think we could have done a better job of communicating why the need was there, where some of the abuses had occurred, where individuals, as an example, in the prison system would call in sick and then show up for the next shift so they could be paid overtime. I mean, all kinds of instances like that would have probably done a better job of building the public case. But I think Governor Walker has also admitted we didn't focus on the politics. We were more focused on solving the problem. Perhaps if we had taken a little bit more time to explain to the public, we wouldn't have had the same level of frustration and anger. But I guess the best indicator is what's happened as far as the results. And I'm certainly proud of where Wisconsin is with now a $1 billion surplus, more tax cuts for every single family that pays taxes. And we've seen all the predictions about massive layoffs and public employees going bankrupt, those things just haven't proven true. So I guess I'm glad that we succeeded and also happy that many of the fears that were brought up at the time just weren't true.
One concern that was brought up at the time was morale, especially among teachers. Some people have expressed concern that teachers are demoralized since the bill passed. Some retired soon after. And as a consequence, education in the state is suffering. What would you say to that?
Well, some employees did retire, and they did that in their own best financial interest because they had a sweetheart deal and they wanted to lock it in. So I don't fault them for necessarily doing that. But at the same time, I certainly hope that they wouldn't fault us for doing what's in the best long-term interests of local governments, taxpayers, and kids. Because we've seen all across the state, even though we were told that there would be dire consequences for children, it just hasn't worked out that way. We see that school districts across the state have new flexibilities. They're now able to shop for the best health insurance, not just say we only have one choice for everybody at a higher price than it should be. They're able to give teachers merit pay if they decide that's best for their district. They're able to change how they operate, all in a way that instead of focusing on the adults, we're finally focusing our effort on the kids and the results that they need. So I certainly am proud of what we've done, and I think that over the long haul, as we look back years from now, we're going to be thankful that we had the courage to make tough choices because the kids were the one who came first.
But are we, with the changes that have happened, still able to compete to get the best teachers in the country to our schools here in Wisconsin?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Rob. We know that even today, when you have an open position for a school district, hundreds of people still apply, and that's because we're still a great place to work. Working in a school district where you get a fully funded pension, you have to pay half, which is about what's normal in the private sector, and you get some of the very best health insurance anywhere in the country, those are two great draws that were only changed in a very minor way. We have very competitive wages, and now you have a workplace that rewards excellence. And I think that anybody who wants to go into public education or any private sector job wants to know that they're recognized, and I think we all know great teachers are one of the most important things we can have to make our state prosper. But we also want to make sure that the very best are rewarded, and it's not based on how long you've been there, but instead on how good you do with kids.
Now, Governor Walker, when he ran mainly on creating jobs in his original election, I should say. Act 10 was not explicitly part of his campaign, especially the collective bargaining changes, and it was not directly a job-creating bill. Was it right to spend so much political capital and time on this legislation that wasn't directly a job creator?
Yeah, it was not directly related to jobs. You're exactly right. But it was directly related to reforming Wisconsin so that we could invest in the long run in the things that will create a prosperous Wisconsin. That's why we've been able to cut taxes three different times in the past 2 years alone. We had a large income tax cut for everybody in Wisconsin that pays income taxes. We now have seen property taxes that are going to go down because of the surplus by $85 per $1,000 of value. So I think we've been able to showcase that, yes, it was a tough choice in the beginning, but it certainly set the stage for Wisconsin's future prosperity that's being shared with everybody.
Do you see Wisconsin taking any big next steps, something like a right-to-work law, which we've seen in other states?
I certainly think we want to take one step at a time. That is probably not something on the foreseeable horizon. At the same time, I have always supported the idea of giving workers the freedom to choose to join a union or not, but I don't think that in Wisconsin at a time when we are focused on trying to grow our economy, that that would be something that would do that at this point.
I want to take you back 3 years and 2 months ago. You and your Democratic Assembly colleague Mark Pocan issued a bipartisan call for civility in Wisconsin politics, now Congressman Mark Pocan. Then Act 10 happened, the protests happened, a lot of division, acrimony in and outside the Capitol. Are we anywhere near bringing back any modicum of bipartisan civility in the years since then?
Oh, we certainly are. I think that we had a tough 2 years. I'm not going to say that we didn't. Mark and I just had dinner in Washington, D.C. He is still one of the finest guys that I know. We disagree on many public policy issues, but I think he's a man of his word, and he's somebody who certainly is working out for what he believes is best for Wisconsin, and I respect him for that. I've tried to do things as much as possible to reach out to Democrats and Republicans. We have a regular lunch where Democrats and Republicans get together for the first time and just get to know each other as people, because that's the way you form a relationship, and that's how you build the possibility of working together. 95% of the bills that have become law had bipartisan support. So the vast majority of things that we do are areas where we've already found common ground. It's just the ones that get reported by the media are most often the difficult issues where we can't reach consensus, and we just have to make a decision on the right or the left, but we have to make a choice one way or the other.
Big election year. What do you see as some of the big issues, contentious or otherwise, leading up to November?
You know, it's still going to be about where we're going in Wisconsin. I am so proud of the way that our state is heading. We have almost 100,000 jobs that have been created, consistently good, compared to during the last few years of Governor Doyle's term, where we lost over 100,000 jobs. We now see a brand new survey that came out that's showing Wisconsin is one of the best places in the country, where they are predicting future job growth, according to Manpower, who's a leading indicator. And at the same time, we see our tax collections are doing better because people are expanding and they're earning more. So I think those are all going to be topics discussed in the fall, but making sure we have great schools, which we've been working on, making sure that we have a healthcare system that's controlled by people right here in Wisconsin and not in Washington, and then ultimately investing in our priorities of worker training and more money for taxpayers. I think the election's going to focus on those things, and I'm sure glad we're on the right side of those topics.
Speaker Voss, thanks for taking time out of a busy schedule in the Assembly.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great day.
That was Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He joined us as part of our Act 10 3 Years In series. Today marks the third anniversary of Governor Walker signing Act 10 into law. Throughout the week, we're looking at that issue, the effect of Act 10 on Wisconsin. Tomorrow, we'll speak with Senator John Erpenbach. He was a Democrat, still is a Democrat, and he was one of the Senate 14 who fled the state to avoid quorum to try to delay passage of that act.